country. Thank you. What a great place. So beautiful. So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. So you might have heard that I just got back from Indiana, and that was very, very successful. They are great people. They're incredible people. Bobby Knight helped me a lot, I have to tell you. Bobby Knight, he was great. Tough and smart. And he likes to win. Our country doesn't win anymore. He likes to win. I like people that want to win, right? We got to win, right? Better believe it. But we had an incredible period of time. And, you know, I started off, there were a total of 18, actually, if you add Gilmore. We'll add Gilmore, right? So with Gilmore, it was 18 people, senators, governors, people of very, very substantial success. And one after another, one, two, three. I love it. Do you love it? Do you love it? And many people, they're talking it as a phenomenon. Look at this. We come up here. It's an afternoon. We're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be going out doing whatever the hell you want to do. And here we are. We sit together. And I'll tell you, This is something special that's happening, folks. It really is. It's something special. And it's all over like this. We go to Alabama. We had 35,000 people. We'd have as big as the auditorium. Look at this big room. And look, right back to the corners. By the way, you have thousands of people outside. Please, please, Mr. Fire Department, let them in. Okay, just let them in. Let them in. We have plenty of exits, right? Besides that, what's going to burn? It's a concrete floor. There's not a lot, right? So we had, they're coming in now. Do you want us to wait about an hour or not? No, let's, no. The hell with them, right? The hell with them. No, they're coming in as we speak. But we had an amazing period of time. You know, we had 18 people all together. And when I first started, they all said, these are the most talented, this is the most talented group of people. I remember from Fox, Charles Krauthammer. Very average, very average. Believe me, he's a very average up here. So he was up. Now he is. He thinks he's not average. You know, he was pushing the war in Iraq. Oh, we got to go in the war, war, more war, war. Oh, great job. $4 trillion later, we got nothing. We have nothing. So he was pushing it. But Charles Krauthammer, I remember, before I decided to do this, he said, we have the finest group of talent ever assembled in the history of Republican politics, right? In the history of Republican politics, there's been nothing like this group. There's no reason for Donald Trump to ever enter this race. The talent is extraordinary. So, you know, but I hear that, and what do I know? I don't do this. I've been doing this for 9 months, so what the hell do I know? So I'm listening to this guy, and I've watched him, and he makes so many errors, and nobody catches him on it, although O'Reilly sometimes does. But I'm listening to this guy, so wrong, thinks so much of himself. I actually think maybe he doesn't. But he's talking about this tremendous talent. And I said to my wife, I said, wait a minute. I listened to this guy, Krauthammer, saying it's the finest group of people ever to enter a political race in the history of the Republican Party or something to that effect. I said, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? This is talent. Why am I doing this? And then about a month later, I said, all right, I'm going to do it, because I couldn't stand watching the Iran deal. I couldn't stand us getting pushed around by ISIS. I couldn't stand when I look at our military. I couldn't stand looking at the worst trade deals. The dumbest people in the world are making the worst trade deals. And you're a big beneficiary of that stupidity, I have to tell you. And I said to myself, we're going to do it. And I stood at the top of the escalator with my wife. I took a deep breath. This is not easy, folks. I mean, this is work, especially when I hear all about this talent. And thank you, man. I thought they were protesters, but they're on our side. I always say, friend or foe? Friend or foe? Friend or foe? Well, I love our protesters because the only way we get the cameras to turn around and show how many people. Look at these corners. Corner, corner, corner. Wow, this is a hell of an impressive group. One thing I'll say, nobody gets the crowds that Trump gets, and nobody has more fun than we do. And the subject is no good because our country's going to hell. But the good news is we're going to make America greater, greater, greater than ever before. Okay? Telling you. We're going to make our country greater than ever before. I've gotten to know the people, and believe me, we're going to do something special. So I said, come on, let's go. I took a deep breath. I looked downstairs at Trump Tower, big building, big floors, and it was a sea of these guys, most dishonest people in the world. Look at them. Look at them all back there. Look at them all. Whoa. Whoa. That's a big group of people. That's a lot of people back there. Where the hell do they come from? Look at that. How would you like to be doing this two or three times a day and always live television? And you know, you spew thousands and thousands of words, really hundreds of thousands of words. And if you do one little mistake, one little, it's off. They say, Donald Trump today said, I mean, give me a, and you notice no teleprompters, no speeches. I just have some statistics. No, no, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you. No, these are just statistics on how we're doing in Oregon. And a little shaky, but don't worry. It's going to be great when we straighten things out. We're going to be great. Thank you, fellas. So anyway, so I come down the escalator. I say to my wife, come on, we have to do it. I didn't want to do it. You know, I have this great company. It's an amazing company and some of the greatest assets in the world. And I say to myself, we have to do it. You know, the country's been great to me, and I'm putting back. Boy, am I putting back. I didn't know I was going to be doing this. Supposed to be taking it easy. Instead, I'm going in reverse. But, you know, so I came down, and honestly, it was like, look at all of them back there. This is like a meeting. Here we are. Look at the press. They must think this is an important place, because that's more than average. I'm trying to figure that out. So why does Eugene, Oregon have more than average? Because it's a great place, I guess. Boy, it is a great place. It's beautiful. By the way, I have to tell you, the trip in, so beautiful. The fields, the trees. And look at all these strong people out here in the audience. See, years ago, I would have said, look at all these strong men. But today, if you say that, they say, you're sexist. That's horrible. Hillary Clinton would say, that was a horrible statement. He said, look at the strong men. He should say, look at the strong people. It has gotten so out of control, I have to tell you. It is so out of control. And just a little side note before we figure, you know, before we do our little escalator trip, but just a little side note. So I just learned that Crooked Hillary, along with her friend, you know, she's got this goofy friend named Elizabeth Warren. She's on her Twitter rant. She's a goofus. She is a goofus. So, Elizabeth, you ever see her? I mean, this woman, she's a basket case. By the way, she's done nothing in the United States Senate. She's done nothing. I'd love to run against her if I came from Massachusetts. You know, I did great in Massachusetts. I won Massachusetts with almost 50% of the vote. Now, It helped, in all fairness, that Tom Brady likes me, right? That helped, okay? Having him as my friend. But I won the thing by a landslide, and I was watching Fox, this guy, this horrible guy that said, Donald Trump, you know, I've been getting 60 and 70%, but we had 18 people. And this dope tonight on Fox said, you know, Donald Trump got 42% of the vote, and I had 7 people and 8 people and 14 people and 16 people in these contests. And Krauthammer says it too. He hasn't broken 50. Well, by the way, about 4 weeks ago, I'm breaking 50 like it's clockwork now. Okay. And guess what? I'm breaking 60. And we had 3 people. And we had 3 people. But you just think about it. So I hear that goofy Elizabeth Warren, and I'm serious, this is a woman who has not done anything in the United States Senate. And they say, oh, she's a super liberal. And, you know, her whole career is a fraud because she goes out and she says she's a Native American. I won't use the word Indian because they say it's not a nice word to use. So I will not say Indian. She is a Native American 5%. And therefore, her whole career, because she was a minority, it's a disgrace what's going on in our country. So goofy Elizabeth Warren, I think that Hillary should run with goofy Elizabeth Warren. I would love to beat them. I would love to beat them. So I just heard, you know, they're doing the whole, she plays a woman's card, right? Hillary Clinton plays, it's the only card she has. Because honestly, without that card, she would get nobody voting for her. Nobody. So every time you see something where, like, you're very nice, but not nice enough to a woman. You have to be very careful. So you're very nice, but not... Did you see Donald Trump, the way he spoke to her? I mean, give me a break. So I just heard that she's got all of her friends from Wall Street. And by the way, I know her friends better than she does. They will get more done by contributing to her campaign. So they've got all the friends from Wall Street. And I don't even think she should be winning because, you know, the system's rigged. It was rigged for me. The Republican system was actually better because it was less obvious, the rigging. And I realized, you know, because I'd win, like, Louisiana. And then I'd find out, where are my delegates? And they'd take them out to dinner, and they'd get them hotel rooms, and they'd take them on a yacht. And all of a sudden, they said, wait a minute, I won the state. Why don't I have as many delegates as a guy who came in fourth? And it happened. And I started to learn the system. And then I realized the only way I was going to win, like a boxer, you got to knock him out. That way you don't have to rely on the judges, right? You got to knock him out. Knock him the hell out. And I won with such massive margins. New York, I had 62%. I won every single county. Pennsylvania, every single county. We went to Connecticut, every single county. I won with men. I won, much more importantly, with women, big league. I won with Hispanics, with African Americans. We're going to put our country together, folks, I'm telling you. And we're going to bring jobs back like you have never seen before. So I just learned they have a $90 million fund where they're going to do negative ads, and they're ads about me and ads about women. First of all, nobody respects women more than Donald Trump. I'll tell you, nobody. Nobody. Nobody respects women more. And my daughter Ivanka always says, Daddy, nobody respects women more than you, Daddy. What are they talking about? So here's the story, folks. They're going to do ads about me, and they're going to say, you know, take a statement where I'm on Howard Stern and we're kidding. Don't forget, I was never going to run for office. This just happened like 9-10 months ago. And boy, did we beat these people. Am I doing a good job? Right? On one of the shows this morning, they showed the margin of victory. I mean, boom, 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 boom. Somebody said, oh, so why won't he beat Hillary Clinton? And a poll just came out, Rasmussen, which is one of the most respected polls. Guess what, folks? I haven't started on Crooked Hillary yet. Guess what? We're leading by 2 points, okay? We're leading. So So they're going to do this $90 million ad campaign. And I said, you know what? I don't want to play dirty. I'm a very clean fighter. I took these people out. And you know Jeb Bush as an example, who's a very low-key person. Well, I wanted to be low-key because it's nicer than saying low energy. And the only reason I'm not nice, he said, I'm not going to the thing. I'm not. But you know, all these guys like this guy, Lindsey Graham, he knows less about the military than my 10-year-old son, Barron. Barron plays military soldiers. He knows more about the military. He said, I've been fighting ISIS for many years. How dare Donald Trump tell me what to do? The guy, we're fighting. If you have him, you'll be fighting ISIS for many more years, believe me. I beat him so badly. And all he does, then he goes out and he endorses one guy, no good. Another guy, no good. Then he endorses Jeb Bush, like right before he drops out. And he goes on television and he spews hate about me. Spews hate. And I said, wait a minute. That's a guy that I defeated so badly that he went home and he started to cry, okay? He started to cry. And now he says, I won't vote for Donald Trump. I won't endorse him. Now, here's the thing. So they signed a pledge. Remember, everybody wanted me to sign a pledge, right? They didn't care about anybody else because who the hell cared about everybody else? 24 million people watching the first debate. 23 million people on CNN a couple of weeks later. The largest audience in cable history, the largest audience in the history of CNN. Do you think that was because of Lindsey Graham? Huh? I don't think so. So they had the largest audience in the history of CNN. The largest audience in cable, 24 million. That's like, you know, big stuff, right? And that's the way it is. So what happens is we go out, we go through it, and that's what's going to happen with Hillary. We are going to have such a victory of her. People don't understand. Women, you know, somebody said, he is not doing well with women. Well, let me tell you. Women want strength. They want border security. They want a strong military. They don't want a woman that sits at home at 3 o'clock in the morning and she's sleeping and she doesn't answer the telephone, which she didn't. Remember her ad? I will be there to answer the phone. She was sleeping. She was sleeping. The last thing you need is another Clinton. That whole deal was a disaster. You look at what NAFTA has done to this country. I just left New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Maryland. I just left states that have been decimated by this bill signed by the Clintons. Terrible. So anyway, so they're doing $90 million worth of ads, and a lot of the ads are me and women saying, having fun with Howard Stern, the Megyn Kelly, who, by the way, I give her a lot of respect. She called me. She called me, and she said, I'd like to see you. Now, if I was wrong, she wouldn't have done that, and I respect her for doing it. She called me. She said, I'd like to see you. She came to Trump Tower. I didn't go to Fox, and we didn't meet on neutral territory. Megan called me. I really do. I have a lot of respect for this. She called me. We sat down. We talked. Everything's fine. I mean, everything's fine. This isn't a woman that I... And I said nothing wrong because I never finished my statement. Remember I said, like, blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever. I was talking her ears or her nose. Everybody said, oh, that's terrible what he said. I didn't say anything. I never even finished. You know why I didn't finish the sentence? Because I love what I'm doing so much, and I didn't want to waste any more time. Who cares? So when I didn't finish the sentence, they all figured coming from someplace else. And because they have all dirty minds, I never even thought about it. That was not what I was thinking of ears or nose. But that's it. But Megan came up, and we had a great talk, and that was it. And I'll do her show. In fact, I've done her show, and I loved it. Other than I didn't like the way I looked. It was the worst I've ever looked on television. Maybe she set me up. Maybe she said, it's the worst I've ever looked on television. To me, the look is important. You know, the look is important. Don King, the big boxing promoter, he would say, you have the look, the look. I mean, the look's important. Now, we're not supposed to say that, but the look is important, okay? You know, there are other people that could say the same words as I'm saying, and it's not going to work too well. Look at these, some of these people here, they'll look, sometimes they'll look. But let me just tell you. So what they're doing, just remember this, what they're doing is $90 million of ads on Donald Trump, and it has to do a lot with the women's issue, right? And I'm saying to myself, but nobody in this country, and maybe in the history of the country politically, was worse than Bill Clinton with women. He was a disaster. He was a disaster. I mean, there's never been anybody like this. And she was a total enabler. She would go after these women and destroy their lives. I mean, have you ever read what Hillary Clinton did to the women that Bill Clinton had affairs with? And they're going after me with women? Give me a break, folks. Give me a break. And I see her all the time. She's saying, Donald Trump, oh, he said something. It was a little bit off with the woman. Can't do that. Or he was on Howard Stern's show and they were. And again, remember this. If I ever thought I was going to run for office, I would have not done Howard Shaw. I would have talked a little bit differently. We wouldn't have had fun. I would have said, Howard, we cannot discuss this subject. I someday in 20 years will run for president. And therefore, so they take clips that are 15 years old or 5 years old. Because honestly, folks, I never thought I'd be doing this. But just think of it. Bill Clinton was the worst in history, and I have to listen to her talking about it. And just remember this. She was an unbelievably nasty, mean enabler. And what she did to a lot of those women is disgraceful. So put that in her bonnet and let's see what happens, okay? With their $90 million in ads. $90 million. And I just went through a smaller run in Indiana. They spent $9 million on me, hitting me with ads that were horrible. Mostly untrue. Some were a little true. But mostly untrue. I have to say mostly. You know, a couple of times they got me. I said, all right, they got me. I don't even mind. You know, when they get me, I don't mind. It's like when these dishonest people back here, the world's most dishonest people, the media. Now, look at all of them. Look at all of them. And they protect Hillary Clinton. You know what? They protect her. They're totally protective of her. So they are the world's most dishonest people. I'd use much stronger language, but there's too many great women in the room. But look at these people. And look at all those cameras going. They are horrible people. They never show the size of the audience. Unless we have a heckler, in which case they do because they think it's a bad thing, right? So I love our hecklers. I usually like them in the corners, up in the corner someplace, because then the cameras, you know, I went 4 major speeches before we had a heckler. And I said, did you see how many people were there? This is when I first started, 10 months ago. And my wife would say, no, they never show. They just show my face. They don't want to show the people. We had in West Virginia the other day a crowd, you wouldn't, like 35,000 people. Most of them couldn't get into this massive, massive plate. And I said to my wife, did you see that crowd? No, I didn't. I said, why not? No hecklers. All those people, no hecklers. Hillary had hecklers yesterday. Did you see it? And these were meek and mild hecklers. These are really weak and pathetic hecklers. But they were, I think they were from Bernie. I think they kept. So these were meek, mild hecklers. And it threw her off. You know how long the speech lasted? 11, think of this, 11 to 13 minutes. Me, we power through it, right? We power through it. But the truth is, we don't have that many hecklers. We don't have that many. But I love my hecklers because it's the only way. So I went like 4 things. Then we had this guy. He had a voice like Pavarotti. He's screaming and screaming. And he was nasty. Don't worry about that person. That person's all right. Don't worry. You know, a lot of times my people are worse than the heckler. You'll have a heckler that nobody can hear because they have weak voices, right? But my people are going, here, here, here. And we drive his car. Okay, don't just leave him alone. Let him shout. I can't hear him, so it's okay. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. So I went 4 times, and I didn't know, and nobody knew how big our crowds were. And I thought the cameras were in a stationary position. You know, new equipment. I figured, well, because look at them. They always look right at me. And then I saw a heckler, And the cameras were bent around like pretzels. They were like this. They were in the back corner of the room. They go, so that's one of those things. But we are going to do things that you've never seen. And I love being with you people. I do. I love this part of the world. I love this part of the country. It's an amazing part. It's an amazing place. But I ask my people, these are statisticians. Can you imagine? I don't want to knock because one of my statisticians here. But I asked my statisticians, I said, do me a favor, get me some information on Eugene, Oregon. How are we doing? Okay? Not great. Not great. What's going on with you guys? Not great. Let's go. Well, you know what? You need help from the federal government. The federal government is allowing other countries to rip this country off like you've never seen. And I hate to say it, Oregon's being ripped off also. So, timber is a crucial industry in Oregon, but it has been hammered by by federal regulations, right? Oregon lost three-fourths of its timber mills since 1980. Is that possible? Three-fourths. That's a lot of timber mills, right? So rural Oregon has been devastated by soaring poverty, joblessness, and hopelessness. Other than that, you're doing great, right? That's a bad statement. Timber jobs have been cut in half since 1990. We're going to bring them up, folks. We're going to do it really right. We're going to bring them up, okay? And Eugene, Oregon has tripled since the year 2000. By the way, this is like this all over. When I was in New York, where we won by a massive amount, like a massive amount, I won everything. When I was in New York, I toured the state. Now, I know New York well, but I went up to Syracuse. I went to Albany. I went to Rome, New York, not the other Rome. I like Rome, New York. But we went to Rome. We went out to the island, Bethpage. And it was unbelievable what you saw. The destruction of NAFTA, signed by Bill Clinton, a disaster. You know, he doesn't get enough negative credit for what he did with NAFTA. NAFTA is a disaster, okay? NAFTA has destroyed big, big sections of our country. If you look at New England, if you look at upstate New York, if you look at Pennsylvania, you look at Maryland and Connecticut, it's destroyed these places, and you've had your problems. I mean, you've had your problems. The number of people on food stamps, I mean, think of it. Manufacturing has also seen a steep decline. Manufacturing employment in Eugene, Oregon has declined nearly 40% since 2001. That happened to be the year that China, our friends from China, and by the way, I don't dislike China. I make a lot of money with China. I have the largest bank in the world as a tenant in one of my buildings in Manhattan. I sell condos like crazy. I won in a big battle with China. You know, I own the Bank of America building with a group. And I own a big building in Manhattan, one of the biggest buildings in Manhattan. Got from China in a war with China. I don't mean it was friendly. Oh, let's go buy. I mean, this was a war. We can do great against China. I don't hold anything against China. I don't hold it against Japan for ripping us off. They're ripping us like you wouldn't believe. I don't hold it against Mexico. They're killing us at the border. We will build a wall, by the way. We will build a wall. We will build it. We will build the wall, and who is going to pay for the wall? 100% right. I never thought you'd guess that one. So let's see. Hillary Clinton, you know, I just left West Virginia where she said, we're going to put the miners out of business, and we're going to put the mines out of business. No, think of it. So then she goes to West Virginia and she tried to say, well, she really didn't mean that. You know, she said that in a different part. Where was it? These are politicians, all talk, no action. It's like that goofy Elizabeth Warren, all talk, no action. She hasn't done anything in the United States Senate. And I'll tell you what, politicians, we have to get rid of it. These are politicians, all talk, no action. So, ready? Clinton, as Secretary of State, allowed China to come into this thing and knock the hell out of us, folks. Oh, do we have a protest? Oh, hello. Hey, get the hell out of here. Get them out of here. Get them out. Get him out. Get him out of here. Go home to mommy. Go home to mommy. USA, USA. Listen to this. Our trade deficit with China increased nearly 40% during the Clinton tenure as Secretary of State. She gave away our country. Now she wants to run for president. She will be a total disaster, believe me. Now get him out. Get out of here. Get him out. But look at the cameras. They're all showing how many people are here. Look at those people. Look at those people. Look at those dishonest camera people. I love it. Thank you very much for doing that, sir. Sir, thank you very much. You know, I'll tell you, it took a while to figure this out, though, but I've had all kinds of hecklers. We had one that had a voice. I'm telling you, he sounded like Luciano Pavarotti, his voice. I could take the guy, other than he was a bum, I could take this guy and make him an opera star. He was screaming so loud, it was my first night, and I said, get the hell out of here! And we were rough. And I got criticized the next day. The press said it was horrible. First of all, the guy was a bad guy. He was swinging at people. And by the way, when my people swung back, all of a sudden, oh, they were the bad people. Give me a break. But he was a bad guy. So they took him out. But I got killed the next day in the press. They said, the way, right? You remember. They said, the way Donald Trump talked was horrible. It was horrible. This guy was a bad guy. He was a real bad guy. Okay. The next day I had a heckler. And I said, I got to do this differently. So I said, just nice and easy. Don't hurt him. Please. Could you remove him, please, quietly? But don't hurt him. And then the next day in the press I said, Donald Trump isn't strong like he used to be. He used to be strong, and he's become a weak person. These people are the worst. They are the most dishonest. Let me just tell you. Let me just tell you, folks. And you look at this room. We have a movement going on like has never been seen in this country. Never. And I will tell you, I am nothing more than the messenger. I'm a good messenger. Am I doing a good job as your messenger? I am nothing more than a messenger. We have people that are great people. I love you too, darling. We have people that haven't had a wage increase in 18 years. They're making effectively less money today than they made 18 and 20 years ago. And then people say, are they angry? And we're not angry people. I'm not an angry person. I'm not angry. You're not angry. But we're angry about the way our government has taken advantage of us. And we're angry at the stupidity and the incompetence of our leaders in this country, because other countries are running away with our country, with our jobs, with our money. And it's like taking candy from a baby, and that's the way we are. And we're going to change, and we're going to change rapidly, believe me. Believe me. We're going to change. So I just wanted to tell you that I had one of the great weeks, because I didn't know, you know, okay, I have to tell you this story. So as you know, in 1 week, by the way, from Tuesday comes, and the next Tuesday, you've got to go out and vote, okay? The more people, the better, because it is a movement. You know, Bill O'Reilly said something that I was, because he's a tough guy, he's a very smart guy. He said, in his lifetime, this is the single biggest, most incredible political event that he has ever witnessed, what's happened with Trump. Pretty good. And others have said it too. He said it's the greatest phenomenon that he's seen in his lifetime. That's a pretty good statement. You know, and when he tells me that, I say, all right, thanks. Actually, I thought it might happen, so I'm not as impressed as other people. But many people have said it. But you go look at Time magazine. I'm on the cover so much. And it's not me. It's what's happening. Because we go to other states in Indiana, you had to see the crowds. You know, I was winning all these states. I was winning them one after another after another. I was killing everybody. I was winning by massive amounts. I was getting 62 and 65. And don't forget, there's three people. You know, we were down to three people. I'm telling you, this bad guy, this bad, I won't even tell his name because nobody knows who he is, but he just said that Donald Trump, you know, for the past races, had a long time ago, when we had 12 people, 14 people, 16 people, and he was saying I had 40%. And I said, but there were 16 people. How do you get more? I think actually that 40% with 16 people is better than 67%, which I had in a couple of, with three people, okay? I really believe that. But they don't mention that. And my surrogates don't mention it. They sit there and they don't do anything. But here's what happens, folks. We're going to do things because of this movement. We're going to do things like has never been done. We're going to make America great again. We are going to bring back our jobs. And I have to tell you, in Indiana, when I went there, so I had all these victories, New York and all these other places, over a period of weeks, and just really big victories. I mean, these were serious, where I was winning everything. But I heard the firewall, the one I couldn't win, which, by the way, I won with evangelicals, which are great. That's great. You know, I won with evangelicals. I won with everything. But I went to Indiana, and that was going to be the firewall for one of the candidates. I won't mention, because you know what? He's out. Do you notice? No, no, no. That's not nice. No, no. Do you notice when they're out how nice I am to people? Unless I see them bashing me on television after they're out. Then we go after them, right? But that particular person is not. No, Jeb Bush bashed me. I mean, he's a low-energy guy that bashed me. And he signed a pledge. He signed a pledge that he endorses Trump. Everybody signed the pledge. And I'm the one that they wanted to sign it. So I said, look, it's good for the Republican Party. I'll sign the pledge. I'm the one that's honoring the pledge. I'm the one. But I have to tell you, Rick Perry of Texas, he left a while ago. He said horrible things about me, right? And yesterday he came out and endorsed me. And he said the nicest things. He said horrible, horrible things. But he endorsed me yesterday and he said the nicest. He said effectively, he's one of the most talented people ever to run for the office of presidency. I mean, that's a big difference. Something like that. Actually, I think he even said better than that, but, you know, I want to keep it down to a minimum, right? But he was good, and he's a good guy. And some of the guys have come through, and then others sit home like spoiled people, and they just don't do it. You know, they don't do it. But they all signed the pledge. I mean, this lightweight, you know, he's a total lightweight, Lindsey Graham, he signed the pledge. And they signed it because they all wanted me to sign it. So I signed the pledge, and they're the ones that are violating the pledge, okay? Think of it. This is called politicians, and I think at my next meeting, I had a copy of the pledge. I'm going to bring the pledge to the next meeting. You can watch that one on time. It's not that exciting. It's just that they sign a document, and it doesn't mean anything because they're politicians. I have had more people calling me who have said the worst things about me over the last 6 months on television. And 2 days ago, I get a call from this person, Guy, and he said, Mr. Trump, I'd love to join the train. He said, join the train. I wouldn't use that expression, although it's a pretty cool expression. He said, I'd love to join the train. I said, how do you do that, right? The Trump train. I said, let me ask you a question. How do you do that? How do you join the train? You said such bad stuff. I mean, how do you pivot out of that? He said, he's a politician. He said, Mr. Trump, there'll be absolutely no problem. I want to just join. I think it's great. I say, only politicians can do this, you know? Only politicians can do this. But we have so many people that have joined up. Did you see yesterday? Congressmen, senators, big people. Dick Cheney joined today. I mean, that was impressive. Dick Cheney. I told you Perry joined, which is an honor, because I've always thought he was a really good guy, really nice guy. Did a good job in Texas, by the way, really did. But so many people are joining, and I'm not like, you know, seeing it. I just see all these. Daryl Issa just joined Congress. Great guy, highly respected. We have so many people now, they're joining. But I didn't get Paul Ryan. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. And, you know, he called me 3 weeks ago. We couldn't have had a nicer conversation. Thank you very much, Donald. It's great. And we'll, you know, work together. Well, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, he wants to be cute. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Because you know what's really important? What really is important are the people. That's really important. And I did a couple of shows today, and I was asked that question. How important is it? And we're going to be a unified party. But the real unification is not some guy that doesn't want to endorse or he doesn't have his heart on an endorsement. And my attitude is, and I won't, you know, I mean, the pledge is signed by the people that ran for president. Every single one of them signed it. I don't even want, if somebody doesn't want to endorse, I don't want their endorsement. It's okay. I'm going to release them. I'll release them from their, they are not in default. I will not have them in default. I'll release them. But if you think about it, I don't want it that way. But the most important people, and they said to me, well, how important is it for unification? I said, the only important thing is the unification of the people, because the other people don't mean anything. I mean, we have had more people voting in the primaries this year than ever before in the history of the Republican Party. Right? And you know the story. When you look at Fox, they had the first debate. 24 million people, the largest audience in the history of cable television. And that's because of me, folks. I hate to say it. I don't want to be bragging. They're going to kill me. They're going to say, oh, he brags. What would they have had? Like 2 million people? They had 24 million people. Then, you know, they wanted to renew me on The Apprentice. And I said, no, I'm running for president. They came up to my office. Renew. I said, we're running for president. We're going to do something. And I said to the top people at Comcast, Steve Burke, one of the greatest guys, great executive, and the heads of NBC, I said, no, you don't understand. I'm totally serious. I want to do something. I want to do it great. You can't do that, you know, because of what's called equal time law, so you can't do it. But here's the story. CNN, the next couple of weeks, CNN then got 23 million people, the largest audience in the history of CNN. Over a debate. They used to be like fodder when nobody wanted it. The FCC used to make the networks take it because nobody wanted to watch a debate. Now it's like watching a Super Bowl. Now it's like watching big stuff. Okay? And it's fun. And I love debating. I didn't know if I could debate. I never did it professionally. That's all these politicians do is debate, but they can't do anything else. And every single poll, which is great. It makes me feel good because I'm representing you. Every single online poll that measured the performance of people in the debate, I won every single poll of every single debate. And a lot of that is because our message is better. So what we're going to do is on Tuesday, you've got to go out there in a week, not this Tuesday, the following Tuesday, you've got to go out there and vote. Because the biggest mandate, the best mandate we can have is lots of people. Now, with that being said, so in the history of the Republican Party, you've gotten more votes than anybody. And we haven't even come close to the end. We have California, we have New Jersey, we have all these places. We have yourselves, but we will have by millions of votes when it's all over, the largest number of votes, bigger than Ronald Reagan, bigger than Dwight Eisenhower, bigger than Richard Nixon, by millions. And the so-called leaders of the Republican Party don't get it. They don't know what's happening because they don't understand what's happening. Now, I'm a conservative person. Remember this, it is named the Republican Party, right? But I'm a conservative person. But some people would say I'm not that conservative on trade. And I believe in free trade, which everybody likes. But we've been taken advantage of by globalization, because we have leaders that are incompetent. They don't know how to do deals, or they're controlled by the people that give them the money. That's probably more likely, all right? And I self-funded my entire deal here, and I'll tell you what. You look at Hillary Clinton, you look at the people that are putting up the money, folks, nothing's going to happen with our country except we're going down, believe me. She will be a tool. She is going to be a tool for Wall Street and everybody else. And you watch, 100%. Now, I'm no fan of Bernie Sanders, but he's 100% right on that. He is 100% right. Hillary Clinton is totally controlled by the people that put up her money. She's totally controlled by Wall Street. And her system is rigged. Do you ever see Sanders wins, Sanders wins, Sanders wins, Sanders wins? Then they sit down and they say, oh, well, he can't win. And I say, what do you mean? He's winning all the time. They have superdelegates, right? Superdelegates given by the bosses. And they gave her so many more superdelegates that I guess she can't lose. And in a certain way, I don't want her to lose because I really want to run against her. I have to tell you, I really want to run. And the last person she wants to run against is Donald Trump. Believe me, believe me, believe me. Because my attitude is, I don't care. I don't care. If we're not going to do it right, I don't care. I'll go and I'll, you know, live it out and I'll build buildings and I'll have some fun and I'll kick the bucket. That'll be the end. I'll be just fine. You understand. I don't care. We're going to do it right, folks. We're going to do it right. Just like we've done here. They said, one of these pundits said the other day, well, I don't know how Donald Trump will do about Hillary. And then they said, oh, wait a minute. He went 17 people, all senators, all top people, senators, governors, knocked them off like on a weekly basis, right? Boom. And I knocked them off. They didn't fall off. I knocked them off. And that's why, you know, there are some bad feelings, but I understand that. It'll take him a couple of days to recover. But look, knocked him off. So they said, if he knocked off 17 people, highly distinguished, big senators, big governors, why isn't he going to beat Hillary? And I asked that same question also. I asked that same question also. So we're going to have great success. The polls are already showing it. They hate to say that, but the polls are already showing it. We're going to have fantastic success. And here's what we're going to do. When these companies want to leave our country and they want to move to Mexico, there are going to be consequences, okay? There are going to be consequences. Ford, Nabisco, recently Carrier. And one of the reasons I won Indiana, first of all, Bobby Knight was so great. Boy, did he help. He was so great. Tough, smart, sharp, streetwise, and he knows how to win. And he wanted, you know, he called me a year ago. He said, this was before I decided to run. And I never met him. I never spoke to him. But he liked me. He said, Mr. Trump, Bobby Knight. And I had to check that. I said, Bobby Knight? I said, check it out. And it was. He said, Mr. Trump, you got to run for president. I said, why are you saying that? He said, because you're the only one that's going to straighten out this mess, and I'm really good at talent. And he was great at talent and still is. So that's a year ago. So I said, well, Bobby, and I hadn't decided. This was before June 16th when I came down the escalator, right? So I hadn't decided. So I said, Bobby, I have not decided yet. It's a big commitment. It's really a big commitment, but let me think about it. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, Indiana turned out to be such a big state. A great state, by the way, great people. And I said, let me ask you, I'm getting ready to go to Indiana. I'm like 14 or 15 points down. Can you believe it? I'm down. And they were going to say, that's my firewall. You know, they were all saying, that's the firewall. They're going to win, blah, blah, blah. So I went 2 weeks early, made a couple of speeches, had massive crowds. And I said to my people, this doesn't look like a guy who's in second place. We had a one crowd, 17,000 people. I said, the guy in second place doesn't have 17,000 people. But I gave two speeches and I left. 2 weeks left. But it was good. You know, you go there, you don't go cold, you go. So I went, gave two speeches, left, and now my poll was like even. And then I went 4 days before, and I worked hard, and Bobby Knight was with me. And Bobby Knight was so unbelievable. And I got also endorsed by Lou Holtz. I got a great the basketball coach, who's a friend of Bobby from Purdue, who is a great guy, Katie, great guy. I got Digger Phelps. I had so many endorsements. A lot of politicians were endorsing. But Bobby Knight was unbelievable. And we won so big. And I won with everything. But we won so big that everybody said, okay, that's enough. We're getting out of the race. And now I can focus on Hillary, that crook. I can focus on Hillary. Crooked Hillary. We can focus on Hillary. But during this time, I studied and I looked. And they were always following me. The guys from Carrier that were let go. 1,400 people. So many of them would go to my rallies. And they were great people. They've been there for 25 years, for 30 years. One was there 14 years. All nice guys. And people. Some women, Unbelievable. One woman, she's there for 22 years, like this incredible woman, and she was fired. You remember, you've all seen it on television. Somebody was holding up their camera, right? And they were fired. And here's what happens. Well, for 5 years, our country, these stiffs in Washington, these people that don't have it, all talk, no action politicians, they've been talking about policy, how to keep countries. They want to give low-income loans and low-interest loans. It's not going to work. They actually gave a couple of loans, low interest, and companies left. So they took the money with them. So this is that. We don't need that. All you have to do is very simple. Folks, if you want to leave to Mexico, enjoy the warm weather, but you want to leave to Mexico, here's what's going to happen. Every single time you build an aircraft, we are going to build that wall, don't worry. Every single thing, we got a couple of guys there, wall crazy here, don't worry, we're going to get it built. Every single time you sell a unit across the border, which now is a strong border, every single time you're going to have a tax of 35%. You know what's going to happen, folks? You know what's going to happen? They're not leaving. Now, they may go to another state, and on that I say you got to go and compete. But we're not letting these countries take our business anymore. We're not letting these countries take our jobs anymore and take our money anymore. We have China. We have a trade deficit with China, $505 billion. 1 year. Not going to happen, folks. We're going to balance it off. Not going to happen. Japan, what they do. I just left a really great place, Nebraska, and they sell beef, and it goes to Japan. And I was saying, so what's the problem? I say, well, they put a tariff, meaning tax. You know, they like to use the word tariff. It sounds softer. So they put a tariff on the beef going into Japan of 38%. 38%? Nobody knows that. You know, we're supposed to have free trade. Well, if we have free trade, how come their cars come in by the millions, much bigger? By the way, you talk about balance. They're up here. We're down on the floor in terms of balance. But they sell the cars by the millions they pour in Los Angeles. You see those docks, the biggest ships I've ever seen. They're pouring off. Looks like NASCAR coming off the track. They're pouring, and we're selling beef, and they're charging us a tariff of 38%, and we charge them practically nothing for the cars, okay? Because our leaders are stupid, folks, and because our leaders are totally controlled, and we're going to change it all around. And it's going to change fast. It's going to change fast. So, here's the story. Here's the story. We don't, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So many young people. So many young, incredible people. Yeah. Incredible. Beautiful. Beautiful looking young people. So, and we want them, when they get out of high school, when they get out of college, we want them to have jobs, folks. We don't have any jobs. We're going to have jobs. So, what's going to happen is very simple. It's what I said was going to happen. When I came down that escalator, and I really covered two subjects. Trade, where we're being ripped off by everybody. That's going to be easy. And I talked about illegal immigration. It's taking over the country. People are pouring in here. We just got, and I just got, the endorsement of 16,500 Border Patrol people. Okay? The agents. They've never done that in a presidential race before. Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the toughest guy from Arizona, he endorsed me. Nobody tougher at the border, because they know I'm going to have a real border. I don't mean dirty stuff. I mean, we're just going to have a border. You don't have a border, you don't have a country. And I want people to come in, but they've got to come in legally. They have to come into our country legally. So all of those things are going to happen. The wall's going to be built, and Mexico's going to be paying for the wall. And let me tell you, when I was debating these various people on the stage, they'd come over to me, and early on they came up, Donald, you know you can't build a wall. Can't build a wall. China, 13,000 miles, we need 1,000, okay? 13,000 miles, we need 1,000, okay. So I'd say, very easy, believe me, they don't know anything about building. They'll never build it because they wouldn't know where to start. Number one. Then they came up at the end, they say, Donald, I mean, you'll never get Mexico to pay. They're politicians. They can't do it. It's all talk, folks. Look, they say, you can't get Mexico to pay. Of course I can. 100%. Listen, think of this. The wall's going to cost $10 billion, and we lose, in terms of trade, $58 billion a year. Now, you don't have to go to Wharton. You don't have to go to Harvard. You don't have to go to any place. You don't have to go to high school to know that's an easy one, okay? They'll pay the wall. Now, anyway, of five or six different ways, I'm not going to tell you which way, whichever one's the easiest one. But that's one of the easy deals I will ever make, believe me. So we're going to have that. But here's the story, folks. We don't win anymore. You've got to go and vote in a week from now, a week from Tuesday. You've got to go and vote. And most importantly, and that's important, but most importantly, in November, we are going to carry your state. And some people say, it's inclined toward the Democrats. And then I walk in, they said, Mr. Trump, and I talk to people, you know, like consultants. They said, Mr. Trump, I have to be honest. You've got something going on that we've never seen before. You will win this state. You're going to win this state. But you got to go and vote. You're going to win. Now, you know, I wasn't supposed to be here. And the same thing happened in West Virginia. Because after I won, I didn't have to come anymore because it's obvious, you know, I got no competition. And here's what happened. I said it the other day. I said, wow, does that mean I don't have to go to all the different places? And they said, you don't have to go anymore, sir. We'll cancel all the trips. I said, well, let me ask you, did we make any specific deals? Like, you know, for the arenas and people are thinking about coming. Well, yes, we did in Oregon. And we did in certain other places. I said, so let me ask you, like, do you think I could stay home from Oregon? Or has it been made? They said, it's been made. But we can cancel it, Mr. Trump. I said, there's no way we're canceling it. Those people want to come. There's no way. There's no way we're canceling it. Right. And here we are. And here we are. So do me a favor. On Tuesday, let's build up the numbers. On Tuesday, get out and vote. A week from Tuesday, get out and vote. Because I want to set, all of us, we want to set the all-time record by millions and millions of votes. Because believe me, that's saying something. Everybody's talking about it. The all-time record. So here's the story. Just to finish off, we don't win as a country. We don't win with our military. We don't win on education. We don't win for our great veterans. We don't win for education. Common Core, by the way, we're going to end it. It's going to be local. We don't win with health care. We've got this ridiculous Obamacare, which is going to put the country out of business, and it's the worst. You see, your premiums are going up 25, 35, 45%, and it collapses in 17. Isn't it my luck? You become president, then Obamacare, then they'll say it's Trump's fault, right? But we're going to terminate it. It's a horror show. And your deductibles are so high, you can never use it unless you're close to death, right? So here's the story, folks. We're going to start winning again. You're going to cast that vote in a week, and then you're going to cast that big vote in November. And you're going to look back, and you're going to say they are the greatest votes you've ever cast in your entire life. In 5 years, in 20 years, hopefully in 50 years for all these young people, you're going to remember this vote, and you're going to say it's the greatest single vote you've ever cast. Because when I took over as president, we started using this. We started using our brain. We started winning again. We started winning again. We started winning with our military, which we have to rebuild. We have to. It's weak. It's really, really been decimated. It's in horrible shape. General Ordiano left, and I watched him on television when he was leaving, and he said it's perhaps the weakest in terms of readiness that he's ever seen it in his career, and maybe ever. I said, ever? Ever? For a man to say that, I must be honest, I don't want my generals going on television, okay? I don't want them going on television and explaining these things to the enemy, okay? I don't need to have the enemy hear those statements, all right? We want to be unpredictable, folks. We want to be unpredictable. We don't need to have our generals on television talking about how weak our military is. We don't need that. But we're going to build it up. It's the single cheapest thing that we can do. But you're going to see things happen. And we're going to start winning again. And we're going to win, win, win. And you're going to call me. And you're going to beg me. Mr. President, we're winning too much. We can't stand it here in Eugene, Oregon. We can't stand it. And I'm going to say, I don't care. We're going to keep winning. We're going to make our country great again. We're going to make America great again. America first. I love you. Go out and vote. We'll be back soon. Thank you. I love you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.